Romans chapter 13. There are three guides, if you will. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Things that God can use in our life to help us to better understand what we ought to be doing, to better understand His will. These are clearly in His will. And I'll explain that to you here in just a minute. I had a fellow come to my office one time. I asked him to come by and meet with me, and I just wanted him to come over and say hi, really, and just to talk to him. And he came in, and I could tell when he came in by the way he was carrying himself and by the way he was talking that he thought I wanted him to give me some advice. And so he was ready to give me some counsel. And, hey, folks, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. What that means is when you have a question about what to do in your life, find some godly people and ask them what they see in the Bible, and God can guide you that way. So anyway, long story short, this fellow says, listen to me, Pastor, whatever you do, you should not borrow any money to build a building because the Bible says, oh, no man, anything. And I thought to myself, well, that's good that you said that, but I happen to know that the Bible also told a woman to go borrow a bunch of vessels so she could fill them with oil and pay her bills. So you can't tell me the Bible doesn't say to borrow. And I didn't say anything to him, but the bottom line was we borrowed the money, we built the building. If we had not borrowed the money, the church would still not have a building and it would still be struggling the way it was when I was there. And God has provided to pay the building off. And just as we did here, we borrowed money to build this building, or to have this building. Amen? I'm glad we're meeting here and not in a motel or a rental property. That's what your alternative is to rent. And that's a building payment too, if you think about it. But anyway, oh, no man, anything, he says here. But let's look at the verse more specifically, and I'll have a word of prayer with you. Romans 13, verses 7 and 8. He says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight that as we meet here, that we realize these two short verses are very full of guidance for us. God, I pray tonight you'd help us. We have obligations. We have obligations to God. We have obligations to one another. We have obligations financially, perhaps, obligations in terms of contracts and things that we have agreed to do. Even promises we've made become obligations once we make them. Help us to understand what these verses mean and how to use them as guides in our life. And it's simply instruction that you give us in the Bible. It might not seem exciting at first, but it is, because we can see here that this is your will for us as Christians, how we should live our lives. We ask in Christ's name, amen. So does everybody here have a phone with a GPS on it? Raise your hand. Wow, aren't we dependent? We were coming back from Santa Clara. We're heading down towards Los Angeles. And we're looking at the map on our phone, and there's a big streak of red in the road. You know what that means? And right next to it, it says, well, more than that, it says, this is going to cost you an hour if you go through here. So we stopped for gas in this place, a really nice place. It had a In-N-Out burger, so that's how good it was. And we stopped for gas and food, and I was walking in, and there was this fellow in the car next to me, and I said, which way are you going, north or south? He says, I'm going south. I said, we are too. I said, what's this road thing down here that's going to hold us up for an hour? And I was hoping he might be coming from the south and tell us what it was. He was not. And he said, I don't know. He said, but it looks bad. It's going to take an hour delay to go through there. And so on the spot, three of us got our phone out and said, hey, show me a better way. And it did, just like that. And you've done it. I've done it. Back when GPSs first came out, one took me across a field one time, or tried to. Dirt road across a field with a locked gate. That didn't work too well. But they've gotten pretty good at guiding us, haven't they? God has put a lot of things in the Bible and in our life to guide us. You are not without guidance. You are not without counsel. You are not without help. And there's more of those than you might think about. If I had a lot of young people in here tonight, I would remind them that God gave us our parents, and they should be a good guide in our life. God gave us teachers. God gave us pastors. God gave us godly friends that can be a guide in our life. But this guide here, he's talking about in verses 7 and 8, he says that there's some things that are dues. He says, render therefore to all their dues. Now, you can see that word and what it means. You check out a book in the library. Wow, when's the last time I did that? That was a long time ago. Anybody here ever go check out a book in the library? Used to do it all the time. In Utah, they had a really good community library, really, really good. I always was checking out books, and the book would say, this book is due on October 3rd. And what that meant was, it's not mine, it belongs to them, and they want it back before that date. It's due. I have an obligation. When I check that book out, my library card says, you better bring this book back or we're going to fine you. And now I got to give that book back. There's something that is due to somebody. You got a light bill or a water bill or a car payment. It's got a due date. There's something that is due. So what he says here is one of the guides in life, and it's God's will. He says, render therefore to all their dues. Folks, it's a no-brainer here. We should meet our obligations. Amen? Christians ought to pay their bills on time. Amen? Your credit score should not be damaged because you didn't pay your bill. If you signed a contract, I used to be in the National Guard. I was an officer. I was a lieutenant. And had a driver and a Jeep. And we'd show up at the National Guard Armory on Saturday morning and we'd have formation. And a couple of guys wouldn't be there. And all these guys knew each other. And so one fellow would come to us and say, oh, I know where he is. He's goofing off today. He stayed home. And they'd put me in a Jeep with his address, back before the days of GPS. And we'd have to go over to his house and knock on the door and say to this guy, hey, you're AWOL. Do you want us to call the sheriff or do you want to come with me? Get your uniform on. We're going to the armory. We got drill today. You're supposed to be there. You're already in trouble. If you don't go, we're going to call the sheriff and have you arrested because you signed a contract and you agreed to do something. When you and I make an agreement, we should keep our agreements. Amen? You say to somebody, I'll be there to help you at 9 o'clock. You ought to be there at 9 o'clock. You say to somebody, yes, I'll attend that meeting. You should be at that meeting. I can beat that horse to death, but I don't need to. You understand what I'm saying? Now, here's the exciting part about that. If you're paying your bills on time, and you're keeping your promises, and you're meeting your obligations to all, this is the word he used, to everybody that you made one to, if you can't meet it, you shouldn't make it. If you're doing that, you're pleasing God. So the next time you write that check to pay the water bill, just think, I'm pleasing God. Oh, this hurts. Light bill or whatever. I'm pleasing God. I made a promise. I'm keeping it. That blesses God. Christians ought to keep their word. Footnote, you should be the best employee. If there's 50 people working in your company and you're the Christian, you should be the best employee there. You should be on time. You should be reliable. You should spend your time serving the boss and not goofing off. You should do the best job you can. Told you too many times about my friend that went to work in Salt Lake City for an RV dealership named Scott. Scott Ledoux's dad was a missionary, and Scott, he knew nothing about RVs. Somehow he got a job in an RV dealership. They asked me to do some website work for them and to make a little extra money. I did that, and I was talking to the man that ran the place, the boss's, the owner's son, I guess it was, and he said to me, he said, you know, Scott goes to your church, doesn't he? I said, yeah, he goes to my church, and he's a good guy. And he said, you know, he says, when he came here, he didn't know anything about RVs. He said, but if I ask him to do something, he'll do it. He'll find out how to do it. He doesn't make excuses. He gets it done. He said, I wish I had 10 guys just like him. That's the way people should talk about us. Amen? Because we're not serving man. We're serving God. When you pay your light bill, you're serving God by meeting your obligations. And you may keep a promise. When you show up when you're supposed to, when you do what you said you would do, that's a do. And when you do that, you're pleasing God. So that's a guide, by the way. That's why I'm talking about guides. Is one of the guides in our life is meet your obligations. Now, I'll talk about that second verse here in a second. Let's dig a little deeper because the next one is not quite so popular here. He says, tribute to whom tribute is due. Now, just for the record, the word tribute there has to do with an annual levy. We call it taxes. Oh, don't you wish you had all the money you paid the government in taxes? And I think it's a little sad, for example, that young people just starting out and they're struggling and they're working for minimum wage, which is a lot better than it was when I was a child. My first job I had was, besides with my dad, was at a Dairy Queen making $1.25 an hour. I think it was, it may have been $1.35 an hour. Anybody here, what was the lowest job pay you ever got? Yes, sir. $2.13, I got you beat. Yes, sir. Three, okay. Anybody below two, Mrs. Mendez? There you go, $1.10. That's what I'm looking for, okay. Mr. McMahon, can you beat that? Dollar something. It was no money. And then I got my first paycheck. I'd worked 20 hours. I think I'm going to probably get maybe $30. Oh, no. The government took, I only got $20. You really think that $10 you took from me is going to do you as much good as it would have done me? But you know what? I was a born-again Christian. I was pleasing God by paying my taxes. Tribute to whom tribute is due. We won't talk about any more about government right now. That'll get us fired up. Let's just keep going. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Each of those has got quite a lot in behind it. custom, by the way, if you just dig and dig and dig, you'll find out what that is paying a series of payments until they are all paid off. It's just like the debt on a car or the debt on a house. Don't stop paying early. If you owe for a period of time, you pay the entire period of time. Fear, the word fear there has to do with reverence. In fact, it's interesting. The Greek word is phobos, and we think of phobias as fears. But fear, to whom fear is due in the sense of the Bible talks to us about fearing God. Amen? But we also are to reverence. I'll use that word just to make it easy to understand. We are to reverence authority. I have an HOA. Oh, boy. And they don't want me to do some certain things. But when I moved into that house, I signed a document that says I'll pay attention to what these fellows have to say. I knew a guy in Maryland, and he moved into a house, and he wanted to put an antenna up for his ham radio. And the HOA had a rule that said you can't put antennas up for your radio. And so he ran for HOA president and won and changed it. And you should have seen his backyard. It's what we call an antenna farm. There's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. Name was Bruce, born-again Christian, went to our church, nice guy. We have situations to where we should respect people. We should respect authority. We should respect police authority. This dovetails into my message from last week. It's just real simple stuff, folks. Is God put the power there not because it's bad, but because it's going to be good. It's going to take care of us. They don't always do what's right. But I'm glad we have police. I'm glad we have laws. I'm glad we have people that enforce those laws. And as I told you before, when you find folks that thumb their nose at the law and hate the law and attack the law and talk bad about the law, law enforcement, that sort of thing, I just want you to know that's ungodly. I don't always like what they decide, but God says all power that power comes from God, Romans 13. I got to listen. I need to obey, and civil disobedience is not an option. Okay, we do have a right in this country to protest peacefully. That's another matter. But I think parking all your cars in the highway and stopping cars or boycotting places, I don't think that's a role for us. We could better spend our time praying and telling folks about Christ. No, he says that we are to give fear to whom fear is due, reverence. And then honor to whom honor is due. And the word honor just simply means give it what it's worth. You might use that in a lot of different ways. You could apply it to pastors, for example. The Bible does. But the point is, don't we have obligations to treat people a certain way? And when you do that, excuse me, I'm sorry, you're pleasing God. I've got water up here. I'm just too lazy to turn open it up. When we do what God said, when we pay those dues, we're pleasing God. And that encourages me, because when I get to heaven one day and I was timely with paying my bills and I was respectful to the people I should respect and I obeyed the laws I should pay, there's a reward for that. We call that obedience. Amen? And God rewards that. So it's a guide in our life. Render to who all their dues. Now look at verse 8, and I'm out of time, but you'll get just enough time for this. Now this is the verse that is, this is one of those times in the Bible to where if you just don't read the context, understand what it says, you can misapply it. Oh, no man, anything. Oh, no man, anything. So somebody stops right there, doesn't read the verse before it, doesn't read the rest of that verse and says, oh, see, we can't borrow money. No, people borrow in the Bible. People are commanded to borrow in the Bible. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about unmet. It's the same exact thing he just said in the previous verse in a different way. Unmet obligations. For example, watch this. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Now, this is easy when you think about it. You and I are supposed to love one another. You and I owe it to other people to love them. And you can never pay that debt off. It's not like, don't you like it when you make that last car payment or that last house payment? I've never been there. I've sold houses and never have paid one off. Or that last, I don't know, whatever payment you got. We bought some stainless steel cookware when we lived in Salt Lake City back in the 80s. And probably shouldn't have bought it, but we still got it. Still use it every day. It's good stuff. Cost too much. And we had to borrow the money. They said, well, you can pay this in 6 equal payments of whatever. And it felt really good to make that last payment. It feels good to not be in debt to somebody. But you will never, ever not be in debt to love other people. In other words, you cannot pay that. It can't be suddenly all, I haven't got to love Dantes anymore. I did enough of that. You know, I love this guy for a year. Now, who cares anymore? No. We have a lifelong obligation to love one another. What if he offends me? Don't do this. I'm going to use an illustration. Don't get any ideas, okay? What if he backs into my new car? You ever have a Christian that hurt you? Oh, I can't stand that person. No. You owe it to them to love them. Well, they hurt me. Yeah, we hurt Christ. He loves us. Amen? Let that sink in. You hurt Christ on that cross. He loves you. Father, forgive them, he said. They crucified him, and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Just because somebody hurt you doesn't mean you don't owe it to them to love them. Especially other fellow believers, double especially people in your church. Amen? We got to pay off our debts. There are some debts you can pay off, but you can't pay off that one. Oh, no man, anything, he says, but to love one another. Now watch this. This is good. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's interesting. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now that word fulfilled is the same word that we use when we talk about paying off a debt. You fulfilled the obligation. You understand that the Bible says Jesus told someone there are two great commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. He said in those two, all the law is fulfilled. Everything else falls underneath that umbrella. I really enjoyed the time we spent in California. It was challenging. It was encouraging. I got to see what some people could accomplish when they trusted God and just kept on pushing and pushing and pushing. And what an amazing thing that they've accomplished. They're in the Bay Area where property costs way too much. And they had a property the very same size as our property in Maryland, about a little over 5 acres. And the architect told us when we built on that property, he said, you know, the estimate is that you can have about 100 people per acre in a church. That's conservative. You could go higher than that. They have 500 per acre in their church out there in California. Where do you park? On top of each other. I don't know. It's tough. Parking is bad. But the thought is, somebody has kept on pushing and kept on pushing and kept on trusting God and kept on calling on God, and they've accomplished a great work. They've got good doctrine. I think their practice is pretty good. Some of the teaching in the school was phenomenal. Kept on going. It was encouraging. I'm on a rabbit trail. Let's get back here and finish this up. So he says, when you love another, you have fulfilled the law. Here's the thought. You say, Pastor, I don't even know the whole law. There's only two you really need to know. If you love God and you love your neighbor, the rest will fall into place. Now, if you love your neighbor and you have a debt to him, you'll pay it. If you owe him money, you'll give it to him. If you made a promise to him, you'll keep it. It falls right in there. It's fulfilled. It all comes together right there. And I'll say this and we'll be done. Listen carefully. Think about this. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, don't you know he cares how we live our life? Amen? Now, when we don't live our life the way we should, does he forgive us? Yes. Does that keep us out of heaven? No. Does he want us to live our life according to his will and to obey him and to follow him? Yes. So what he says here is, if you love one another, you're going to hear him one day say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I could spend a lot of time, and I don't have, to tell you some things like this. If you love folks, you'll tell them about the gospel. If you love folks, you'll invite them to church. If you love folks, you'll pray for them. If you love folks, you'll be kind to them. If you love folks, you'll forgive them. If you love folks, you'll treat them the way Christ treated you. Because love is quantitative. It can be measured. And the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In other words, love is sacrificial. And the greater the sacrifice, the greater the love. We need to love one another. Amen? Forgiving, being kind, trying to help, not judging but encouraging, trying to bring folks back when they drift away, trying to strengthen folks when they're weak, trying to comfort folks when they hurt, trying to be a blessing to folks when they have needs, trying to let folks grow and build them up when the world's trying to tear them down. That's what love's all about. That's what Christ did for us, amen? And that one debt can never be paid. You never can say, I've loved enough. It's an infinite debt. The rest of these debts we can pay off. I can pay off my car. I can pay off my house. I can pay the light bill. I'll always owe it to you to love you, and you owe it to me to love me, and we owe it to each other to love each other. Amen? Keep on paying that debt every day. That's what he says by fulfilling your dues or your obligations. Let's all stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. And I see